All right, hello and welcome to the Cosmic Eye Show. I am your host, Jason Napolitano. We do this show every week. We look at spiritual and new thought, psychology. We look at books. We look at creativity, et cetera, et cetera. It's a pretty open show. Really excited today because I have on the phone Mr. Daryl Fusaro out in L.A. You're in Culver City, right?
Yep.
It's good to hear from you. Thank you for coming on today. We're going to talk about your book, What If Godzilla Just Wanted a Hug? Leading with the Heart Instead of the Chin, today. So I'm thankful that you've come on. I'm going to give a little bit of background. Daryl, you're an artist, you're a writer, you're a teacher, you've worked in the movies. I know there's about a million sides to you. I don't want to minimize it. But mainly we wanted to talk New Thought, some of your experiences and about your book today. So we're going to do that. Now, where would you direct people to if they want to see your work, if they want to interact with you and so on? I know you're on Instagram and you got a great website. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the best way to see everything right now that I'm up to is Instagram. And that's at, you know, that little ampersand. No. Yeah, it's the at symbol, right?
At symbol. At. Yeah, exactly.
The old at symbol followed by F like Frank, O-O, Z like Zed, A-R-O, Fusaro. So it's at Fusaro. It's my name phonetically because everyone pronounces it wrong. It's actually spelled F-U-S-A-R-O, but...
What do people say, like Fusaro and crazy stuff like that?
No, I haven't heard. Oh no, I've heard. I have heard Fusaro recently at the VA. Okay. I've also heard Fusaro.
Okay.
Fusaro. I mean, I've heard. Every
okay, yeah.
Like you, I'm sure you have had your.
Listen, my friend Napolitano. What do you think they do to that? I've got a guy that I've known for 13 years, and this guy still cannot pronounce my last name. It's amazing. And the beautiful thing is he's Spanish. Spanish. I'm like, bro, all you got to do is pronounce it like Spanish. He's
yes.
Like, Napolitano. And I'm like, if you said my name in Spanish, would it say Napolitano? And he's like, I don't know. I don't think so. I go, I forget it, dude.
Well, it's Latin. He should be.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's amazing. People
forget that. Italian is the origin of Latin. And, it, you know, that's where all these romantic languages came from.
Exactly. So what I would say is our Spanish friends, French, you know, people that speak Romanian. You know, I don't know. There's a million other romance languages, I think, but none of them should be pronouncing our names wrong. Let me just say that.
And mine's easy compared to yours.
Yeah, yeah.
And
exactly.
There's also my buddy Ed Biagiotti, and his is pronounced, you know, B I A G G. Now I'm not going to be able to spell it.
nice job. Good representation of the Italian American
IOTTI.
People there you go. That's fantastic. Well, you know what the thing is, and speaking of your book, the first thing that stuck out to me obviously is the first chapter, first thing you read. But the thing that got me about that is how you talk about how you felt like your first name doesn't go with your last name. And can totally relate to that. It's so funny because my father wanted to name me Anthony after his dad's brother, Antonio. And my grandfather's name was Vincenzo, and he went by Jimmy. But somehow I got Jason. So my mom won out, which is it's not a bad name.
No.
It's at least it's Greek, so it kind of goes with the Italian, but it still doesn't really work. You know, it's still there's a disconnect. You know what I mean?
You know, it's great. This goes along with actually, are we going to read the Daily Word? Because this goes along with like what we were talking about yesterday.
Jeez, I completely forgot about that. Like, and you know what else it is? It's Fillmore's birthday today.
I saw that. I don't know.
I'm like, that's amazing.
I don't think people, I don't know if everyone listening knows who Charles Fillmore was or is.
Fill them in, please.
Well, he's one of the few during the late 1800s that really helped to launch this New Thought movement of Christianity or spirituality, non-denominational, is also known as first century Christianity. And why they called it first century Christianity was because it's assumed and believed that during that first 100 years after the death of Christ, Jesus Christ, that people were actually seeing him more as the great example rather than the great exception, rather than seeing him as God visiting the earth. They saw him more as an example of how we're all have access to this power. And if we do a few simple things like he suggested in his teaching, then we too can live happy, joyous, free, and successful and in good health by applying his suggested teachings. And people were getting remarkable results during that time. But then slowly but surely, one faction would say, no, you guys aren't doing it right. We're doing it right. And eventually it kind of turned into what seemed to turn off a lot of people during the end of the 19th century, which was, very hardcore Baptist or puritanical teachings. Exactly. Yeah.
It was very literal-minded kind of Christianity. And then the challenge, too, at that time is they were butting up against all these new scientific ideas with evolution.
Yes.
And so they couldn't prop up a lot of the literal interpretations of the Bible anymore, and it shook a lot of people's faith. But what they didn't realize is, oh, there's this truth that's been running throughout the centuries that doesn't rely on literalism.
Right.
It goes to the heart of it and what Jesus really taught.
Yes.
Right? Which is, you know, the kingdom of heaven is within. You know,
yes.
God is within you. And I mean that Jesus says it outright, you know, in the New Testament, but people want to ignore that and they'd rather believe in a literal minded sort of a church. Not to knock church, because great things come out of it, but I think it just got kind of stuck in its own in its own dogma.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. More dogma and less practicality.
Exactly, and less connection to the source.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I'm going to be the arbiter of wisdom, and I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You don't have direct access to Jesus. You don't have direct access to God. You have to come through us. And it's like, I think after a while, people are like, I don't know about that.
Maybe. Dude, I got to say.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got to say, I am so grateful that I stumbled upon this. When I stumbled upon it, and that I was willing to go for it, because what I'm talking about is, you know, stumbling upon these teachings because I was out of my mind because of what you just said. You know, the there's an arbiter of the of who has the direct connection, you know, priest or minister and
sure
monk or nun or, you know, anybody but me. But at the same time, they're suggesting that I pray to God. So it's this weird disconnect. And then accompanied with the idea that, if I've already screwed up or made some mistakes, then what's the use? I'm going to be sent to hell anyway.
Yeah.
So it really did not help with my self-esteem. And it didn't give me anything to really grab a hold of when I could have really
used it.
When I was at my worst, then the beauty of this is if you have the willingness to believe, even if you're not sure what you believe in, even if you're not clear about what God is to you, if there's a willingness to believe that there just might be a higher power, for a generic phrase, and you begin to start to move towards that in your, prayers and just ask for help, the help will come. That's the miracle of it. The help will come, just like it did for me, in the form of different people that entered my life and turned me on to, like we're going to read the Daily Word, which seemed so weird because I was 23. And the guy who suggested, Daily Word, I look at this and I go, oh, God. Is this one? This is like something little old ladies read.
Yeah.
How's this going to help me? I need serious help.
I need some big time help here. Come on. You're giving me a tiny little magazine.
Yeah. A tiny little booklet that little old ladies read about, you know, prayer. Yeah. But I started with that. And I was, he said, you know, do this, read this. And he gave me some other suggested inspirational prayers and books. He was smart enough not to give me anything that would set off any alarms, you know, that seemed too you know, mean-spirited or too at what I would perceive, because I was so skeptical, you know.
Yeah.
So he gave me, you know, the daily word, which doesn't set off any real alarms. I mean, at that time I would just kind of end before it got to the Bible verse. Because, you know, that was like,
that's too much.
Yeah,
you've crossed the line.
Yeah,
but I'll just pretend that's not down at the bottom of every page.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now when I meet people, because I understand my prejudice at that time, and it's very real and scary, and you can't quite identify why, you know, you don't want to go there, and it doesn't matter. So what I help people that I introduce this to, you know, and like you, you know, I mean, we're not in the business, literally in the business of saving souls, but as a result of applying this in our lives, we end up bumping into people, and just by our example, and when I mean example, I don't mean, I'm not saying you and I are walking on water, but just because of our joyful demeanor, we're fairly kind most of the time. I assume you are too, from what I know about you.
I try to be, you know. Yeah, exactly.
So people tend to, you know, what do you do? And when this comes up, I tell them, well, I read the Daily Word. And if they go, ooh, you know, I could tell, you know, they're like me in the beginning, you know.
For sure, exactly. Yeah.
So I go, listen, I said, Bible verses, I said, they freak me out too. I go, you don't have to read the Bible verse if you don't want to. And I said, and I'll say this to him, I said, but what I've come to realize is that Bible verses are really just positive quotes that are very, very old.
That's a good way to look at it. It
takes all the sting out
Exactly.
of it. Because, yeah, because that's really what they are.
No, for sure.
Yeah, and the sting just comes from my perception and my experience of religion, not even spirituality, up in, you know, that surrounds the Bible.
You know, and I, you know, it's funny because I had the same sort of thing, and you know, I had this when I was super young. You know, I was always interested in religion and spirituality from like the time I was like, you know, I could start reading and stuff. It was odd how like drawn to it I was, but we didn't really go to church. You know, my father was a Roman Catholic, and my mom was kind of a vague Christian,
I guess.
No, go ahead.
You know what's funny?
What's that? Your same
mom,
thing?
Yeah, and my mom is the reason I'm named Daryl and not James or Frank. And I gotta tell you one other thing. Where did
or
you
Anthony.
Grow up? Yeah,
I grew up in Seattle, but my grandfather's from your hometown. He's from Newark.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, let me just
tell
you.
Bro, we have so many connections. It's crazy.
Let me just tell you something. And we got to read the Daily Word now that we're bragging about.
All right. Do you have it in front of you? Do you want to read it? Because I think I'm going to let you do it.
I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to tell you a funny story about the similarities of how my mom was the culprit who named me
the culprit.
Daryl, just like yours named you Jason.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll have a nice story after the Daily Word. Right. And if you're a listener, you can read the Daily Word for free. This thing, there's no strings attached.
Yeah.
I know for a fact, Jason, neither one of us is we're not affiliate.
No,
affiliated,
we're getting nothing
with the magazine.
To sell this. We're not trying to pitch anything or ram anything down anybody's throats.
No.
It's just something that has helped both of us maintain our sobriety, maintain our peace of mind, maintain our like positive attitudes and all that.
Yes.
So that's all we're saying.
Yeah, for decades.
Exactly.
And you like what I wanted to say is if you go to dailyword.com, you don't even have to subscribe, and they'll let you read. You could read the current day's Daily Word for free.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so you don't even need to order it. But if you want to order it, I did the math just for the listeners. It comes to about 3 cents a day. And listen, if let me tell you something.
3 cents a day for the value of this.
Yes. Yeah.
By the way, if any Unity people are listening, you know, I love how hard we're selling this. Yeah. And it's like they're gonna be like, why aren't these guys getting a commission on this? I'm telling you.
Well, it's good stuff.
Exactly. That's all we're doing is sharing.
And today's is
with a pure heart. All right.
Yes.
So go ahead.
Oh wait, the mail's coming. Okay. So today's daily word, it always starts off with a word. And today's word is unity. And the affirmation is, I live in unity with all people. Ah. In 1923, Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore said, the time is coming when we all need to unify in mind. That moment is surely here. Never has it been more important to offer love and compassion to everyone we meet, knowing all are one in spirit. It's not enough to pray for unity and peace. I must practice peace in every thought and action. In that way, I radiate peace and unity to the world. Today on Fillmore's birthday, I remember his willingness to share what he learned in the spirit of unity. I, too, happily share my joyous spirit. There is no limit to what one person can do to create unity in this world. And the Bible verse is from 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 8, I think is how it works.
That's how they do it.
Yeah, I'm learning after 33 years of reading this stuff. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind.
Fantastic.
Okay, two things happened. We talked yesterday, and that's when you said, hey, we'll read the daily word. And I didn't know if I looked at it last night. I didn't read it, but I wasn't sure if I saw it was Unity last night or this morning. But ironically, last night on YouTube was, and I suggest all your listeners check this out. It's a Saturday Night Live sketch of all things. And it is so positive. It's called Unity Song. And they set it up like, you know, the We Are the World things that we've seen that the celebrities do.
Yeah.
And it starts off with how, you know, the world's divided, the country's divided. But we're going to sing the Unity Song because we realize that all there are things we can all agree on. And they give a list of everything. You know, most
that we could
of
agree
us,
on. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but that we're things that we are irritated by.
Oh, perfect.
So it's so, it gets the point across in such a humorous way. And they don't throw a curveball at the end. I mean, it's really a wonderful comical
way. All right, I got to check that out after we're done with the show.
Yes, it's called Unity Song. It drives home this exact truth. And before, I tell this story that actually goes along with this, with the book, and hitting on the first story of the book, the first story of the book that you were referring to, and I'm talking about what if Godzilla just wanted a hug. And it was, it's not what you think of me that makes me upset. It's what I think you think of me that makes me upset.
Exactly.
And it was how I felt about my name. It would sell because my name's Daryl Fizarro, and where I grew up, I mean, I grew up in New Jersey. I grew up in a small, not too small, but Clifton, New Jersey, in case anyone is from New Jersey. And, you know, it was primarily immigrants from that period that all came pretty much at the turn of the last century.
Yeah.
You know, the past century, not this one, not this immediate turn, but the one before. And so it was Italians, Germans, Polish. You know, that group.
Yeah, that Jewish wave of immigrants that came. Yes. It was like the 19, I think, I feel like it was like the big wave of Italians came in the mid to late 1900s.
Yes.
The 1915 to like 1920, yes, 25, exactly. Right? Something around there, right?
Yes. Yeah. So everyone I went to school with you know, whether you were Polish, Jewish, Italian, it was like Louis, Frankie, Johnny, Mark, Marky,
good East Coast
Mikey,
names.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Jenny, Lori, and Daryl.
I love the way you say that too. How you brought your mom? How your mom would say that.
That's the way they say it. And I was like, "Are you kidding me?
What the hell?"
Yeah. So I definitely didn't feel unified. Feeling unified. But the thing is, when you start identifying with what we do have in common instead of what we don't have in common, then it seems like whatever the differences we had become insignificant. But that's why I didn't like this whole, like, not so much now. Now the new word is inclusion.
Yeah.
But a decade or so ago, it was diversity. And yeah. I did not like that model of trying to make people love one another, which is what it was, because the word itself is, you know, divisive. It comes from, you know, it's divisive, division, diversity.
It's focusing on differences and on, instead of similarities, isn't it?
You cannot fall in love with someone you're focusing on differences first.
Yeah, exactly.
Because just by nature,
you
got
to find that common ground before you can discuss the differences. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself. You don't have that love in your heart for that other person. If you're just sitting there trying to nitpick like what the differences are between our different cultures or whatever, right?
No, I agree. Yeah. And I had an example with this that's also in my book, and it's titled, I believe it's Italians, Blacks, and Mexicans. We all have grandmas. And
that's a great, I love that title. That's where you go and teach, right? You teach a lot. Tell that to the listeners.
Okay, what happened was when my wife and I first moved to Los Angeles, I don't know why, but we were pretty much starting to do the things we enjoyed doing or came out here to do. By that time, I was actually the supervisor of a public access TV studio in L.A. I mean, it was the coolest thing to be working at with all like these crazy bands. And, you know, it was the time before YouTube. And before YouTube, there was actually these studios that the cable companies had to provide.
Yeah, yeah.
To allow the public to be able to produce a show that would air on television.
Yeah, exactly.
For absolutely no cost or a very nominal fee.
It was part of the idea that they didn't want to monopolize the media, right? They wanted the public to be able to have some kind of control out of what they were putting up there. I mean, that was a good thing they were doing back in the day.
Oh, it was awesome. And it was a lot of fun. And my
the
wife,
craziest of shows too would be on TV, mind you.
Dude. It was awesome. Oh my God. That's a whole nother show.
Yeah, that's a whole nother show.
Us to talk
exactly.
About.
Public access back in the 80s. Sorry.
Yeah. So I'm doing that. We're also, Lori was involved with a theater company at that time. And, you know, we were doing everything we came here to do. But we were starting to think, maybe we should go home. You know what I mean? Not home, but I mean, we had a place in New York at that time still. We were renting it out. We owned it. And then we were, you know, renting out here. So we knew, maybe we should go back. And at that time in our lives, we were thinking the possibility of having kids. Do we really want to live in L.A.?
Yeah.
So with all that going on in our head, I made the mistake of sharing that with someone out in front of the studio. You know, an acquaintance. She was the wife of an author who was being interviewed on one of the more reputable shows we had. You know, because there was a couple really, you know.
One of the more reputable shows.
You know, if you could say such a thing about public access.
About public access in L.A.
Yeah, but she would get good authors. I mean, she had Obama on before he was president. Like, before he even knew who this guy was.
Yeah, yeah.
She had, now I can't remember his name, the guy, the famous chef. Oh, God.
Which one? One of the Italians, or
no? He's a famous chef. He had a TV show. I can't remember his name, but he had a scandalous book he wrote. That was his big claim to fame back then.
Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain.
Bourdain, exactly.
He was on.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, they had Bourdain on, and then she had Stephen J. Cannell, the big time producer.
Oh yeah,
all those shows we grew up with.
Hill Street Blues.
Yes. So
love that show.
So I'm talking to the wife of the author out front, and she's asking me questions, and I'm saying, yeah, you know, me and my wife are thinking about going back, and she goes, well, what were some of the things you did back there? I said, well, and a couple of my artist friends were trying to get me back, so they said, you know, we could get you into this thing that was going up, artists that they'd bring into the schools in New York, and you get paid a decent amount. You know, and you go in a few times a week, and I'm going, this is right up my alley.
Yeah.
So I'm telling her this because I'm excited about the idea of it. And she goes, well, would you do that here? And of course they said, of course I would. And she goes, well, that's what I do. I go, what do you mean? She goes, well, you know, if I meet a friend who's an artist or whatever. And I said, oh, okay. So I said, yeah, I'd love to. And she goes, oh, great. You could talk to the kids in Watts. And I go, what? You know, I didn't say that out loud.
Yeah, but in your mind.
But in my mind, I'm like, what is this? And just so you know, I have blue eyes and I'm like the fairest Italian of them all. So I'm thinking, what's this blue-eyed devil going to tell? Like, I'm thinking all these horrible thoughts. Like, I'm not qualified to talk to these people. They're going to hate me, right?
Yeah.
Which is just erroneous. But in those moments when you're believing these
now,
thoughts.
What is this the late 80s, early 90s around
that
time?
Early 90s.
Early 90s. Yeah, all right.
So my most positive movie is from the early 90s is like Colors, which does not bring...
So that tells you what you think you're getting into.
Yeah, so...
The Watts. All right.
Exactly. Well, at least
fantastic.
That's like...
That's in
like
your mind.
In my mind.
Yes, exactly.
And so then I go, okay, here. I give her my card. She looks at it. She goes, oh, you're Italian. I said, yeah. She goes, that's great. She goes, you could talk to him about being Italian. And all, you know, because she goes, because they're African American and you're Italian. I go, and in my mind, I'm going, I'm Italian?
Really?
Like, what does that mean? I go, I never really thought of myself as Italian. I mean, I know I'm Italian, but, you know, it's not like I play the accordion in my house and
sure, and you're
talk
you're,
like.
You're making like handmade pastas and.
My grandmother made the pastas and stuff. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to talk to him about? So, but every morning I do my morning routine. I kick it off with the daily word. And every morning I didn't know what I was going to do. And I go, I know what? I'm going to put it in my God box. And a God box is just a way of turning over your concern about something. You know, I got a little cigar box. I have a God right idea.
And you decorate it, right? I saw that online. That's cool.
You could decorate it or not. I was turned on to this, you know, when I first was introduced to, you know, all like this affirmative idea of believing.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just go, you know what? God will give me the perfect idea in the perfect way, you know, right time.
Now, do you write something down and then put it in the box? Is that how you use that?
Yeah.
So you kind of turn it over to God, like in a ritual way. Is that the
not
the
too ritually. Just
but you know what I mean? Like you just, there's an action involved with it and the mind, right?
Well, that's it. Yeah. Because it's kind of hard for, you know, men are always like hands-on.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not assuming women have an easier or harder. I just know I'm a man, and that's the way most of me and my friends think. We got to be doing something.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a way to feel like I'm participating in the request, like I'm doing my part.
Yeah,
I'm not just saying to myself, "Oh, I turn that over." It actually feels so. Anytime I think about this again and I get concerned, I go, "Nope, God's on it. It's in my God box." And I always know when it's God's will. It comes as a very joyful hunch, like very joyful feeling.
Yeah,
like, ooh, that's the course to take. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
And just to give you a couple ideas of some of the things I threw in here recently. One of them was, I guess I was thinking in the morning, oh, it'd be fun to, you know, maybe do a drawing class or something with the you know, teaching, yep. right?
Yeah,
art.
Yeah.
And so I wrote art/drawing for the health of it at VA or better. And that went in the God box at on the 9th. I always date them. That went in on May 9th, 2019,
okay.
this year.
Yeah.
On July 24th, so that's a little, that's about, oh, a little over, what, 60 days maybe or
yeah,
less?
Yeah, roughly, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I get invited to facilitate a zine workshop at the West LA Library.
Fantastic.
And it came miraculously. Like, and it's like you throw yeah. these things in there. And
well, that's good why you're writing it down is such an important yes. thing, because then it, you recognize and remember it. And it does, you don't just chalk it up to oh, what you know, that was a little a strange little coincidence. You're like,
right.
no, there's intention, and the universe is actually responding
yes.
by it, right? I mean, that's huge. That's so huge.
So that's what I was doing with this Watts talk. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Then the lady tells me, oh, guess what? The Italian consulate's involved. And they want... and I'm thinking,
and
what?
I love the fact that you like everything... I love how you were saying in your book, everything I learned about being an Italian, I learned from watching TV. Which
yes.
is exactly what I've said. I've literally said that before.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, I knew nothing about anything. I was just like, what did I see on The Godfather? What have
yeah.
I, you know, what did I learn from watching Goodfellas? There's my
yes.
like introduction to Italian culture.
Yeah, because anyway. Yeah, it's nothing like that in real
no,
life.
No, it's not anything like that. And that's the funniest thing about it. It's like one of the richest, most sophisticated, like intelligent cultures on the planet. And like the idea we have Italians in America is like the, you know, the idiot Guido that, you
know
what I'm saying? It's a, anyway, that's a whole nother show again, but go on. I'm sorry.
All right. So I'm blessing this thing. And then one morning it hits me. I go, all of a sudden I had to, what would be the most exciting thing, that I could do, like that I would like as a kid. And that idea started to like percolate. And then I didn't have a clear idea what it was going to be. But I'm thinking, ooh, I would want, let me think of it from that perspective. So God's
yeah.
given me a new angle to look at it. Instead of, you know, presenting, I'm thinking, what would I, if I was a kid? Well, now she hits me with another. She goes, these are, you know, these are 4 and 5 year olds. I don't know if I told you that. I'm like, 4 and 5? Like, how am I going to even keep their attention? So she goes, they want the head of the Head Start program in Watts is so excited you're doing this. They want you to come down and meet them and come visit the school like before this thing takes place. And I'm going, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah,
but
exactly.
You know what? If God calls you to duty, then that means everything is going to come together better than expected. So I go down there, I show up, and everyone there is so excited to meet me. And this is where it changed. This is where everything came together and the whole piece came together.
Yeah.
She takes me in, the lady escorting me, the head of the program, which was actually a British-speaking black woman. So even that was way beyond what I expected.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
this is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really getting a lesson here in how limited our thinking is.
In our
is.
Limited thinking.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, she could have been the Queen of England with her accent. So we're
yeah.
walking. I'm walking in with the, you know, the black Queen of England. And she's sweet as can be. And she's so, like, grateful. And she goes, all the teachers want to meet you. And so I go in to meet the teachers of the preschoolers and kindergartners in this program, and the kids are there too. And the teachers are showing me around, and all around the classrooms are those construction papered things I used to make as a kid, where, you know, you have a country and then you attach the types of things that come from that country, you know, little cutouts or macaroni. Or, you know, any picture.
Oh, yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So So they were doing that with Italy. And then they said, oh, and then she's telling me, she goes, yeah, their moms made pizzas and spaghetti. And I go, oh my God. I was almost in tears. Like, yeah. This is incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're so excited for your thing. And I said, oh, wow. So we all shake hands. I go, there it is. I said, there it is. That's the ticket. When we focus on the similarities, yeah. And I'm thinking, all these kids love, everyone loves pizza, spaghetti. I'm like, who doesn't love that? And then it reminded me of my whole experience, my whole life. You know, when people met me and found out, Daryl, and they go, they hear my last name, they go, oh, you're Italian. They never said, oh, whoa, you like the Sopranos? Or they never say, you know, anything related to what is out there as, you know, oh, everyone thinks of Italians as a mafia. That's BS.
Everyone, you know what? No. This is because you grew up on the East Coast. Every single kid that I grew up with, because I was probably one of like three Italians.
Yeah.
At like, oh, is your family in the mafia? The first thing they would ask is your family in the mafia? God. And then number two was, do you speak Italian?
Well, yeah, I get, do you speak Italian?
And number one, the answer, unfortunately, is yes, some of them are. But the number two one was like, you know, was like, no, I don't. Because my grandfather, in his day, they would not allow anyone to speak Italian. You know what I mean? They had that thing where they wanted to be Americans.
Yeah, they didn't want to be American.
They didn't want to speak Italian because they didn't want to sound foreign.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a weird thing. It's like the opposite of today. Everybody wants to be, you know, separate. More cultural and more separate. Back in those days, they wanted to blend in.
They wanted to be part of something new.
Something new. It's true.
Yes, yeah. Something new. Well, then I stand corrected, but where I...
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying. I thought it was a little different thing.
Yeah, because on the East Coast, and then even out here, by the time I came here, and when I was in the military, I was in Hawaii, and... what usually happened with me is, oh, you're Italian? I love Italian food. That's usually the first thing out of their mouth. I love Italian food. I go, me too.
Well, now everyone says that. I will give you that.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what that's like now.
So all these things now going through my mind. So I get home, and the next morning I'm thinking, what would be the greatest thing I would love as a kid? I go, wouldn't it be great if I had a magic pad that anything I talked about became real? And I go, that would be
awesome.
I'd
like one of those.
Yes.
That'd be fantastic. I'd like one of those now.
Yeah, I draw it, and then like if you draw a plate of spaghetti,
boom.
You got a real pull it off, it's a real plate of spaghetti. So I like that. And then I thought, wait a minute. The one common denominator all of us have that's so similar is our grandmas. You know, they all, especially back then, you know, my grandma dressed like a grandma.
Yeah.
These kids' grandmas dressed, most of them all dressed like grandmas with the hat.
Well, grandmas weren't trying to be your buddy or ask you what the cool music is now.
No.
They were trying to be grandmas back then.
Yes. So I go, okay. Grandma is going to be the tour de force of this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to do all the similarities, and I'm going to have my magic pad. So how do I make a magic pad? So I got a roll of paper, white paper, about 4 feet long, width wise. I rigged it with a clothing, one of those clothing racks you move around, like set, wheels, or in a department, department store. It's got the bar across. So on the bar across was the paper. I use C-clamps as I pulled the paper down to clip it to the sides. And then I draw something. And when I was done drawing it in marker, I had a X-Acto knife that I could make a quick slit.
Yeah.
And I'd reach in and pull out whatever it was I drew. And my wife was behind there handing me the stuff. So,
yeah.
But the pad would have problems. Like I'd draw manicotti and I'd reach in and I'd get a jar of mayonnaise. So I had
so the pad was a little confused.
Yeah. So the pad, and when they got there, they saw the face of the pad sleeping. Nice. And I introduced the Pat. I said he had a rough night last night. I told him we were going to be here.
He might have went out drinking. I don't know.
So the parents liked it. The Italians liked it.
That's great.
We sang a couple of Italian songs, and I drew the different characters for the songs, you know, dog, horse, cat, so each person could hold it up.
Yeah.
And then I taught, you know, they learned munja munja, a few of the fun words.
Nice.
And at the end, all of a sudden you hear munja munja, and I go, who said that? And all the kids are going, and they're still awake and alive. I mean, these were 4 and 5 years old, loving this. I was so high as a kite.
And there was no iPads and no computers involved.
No, nothing. Me on stage with a boring pad. So, and the Italian consulate general's there. I mean, all these people from the Head Start program. I mean, that's fantastic.
It's the first time you've ever done this type of presentation.
Yeah. Oh, and not to mention, they decided to bus the kids instead of keeping them in Watts and me doing it there. The consulate said, no, you're going to do it at our facility. So everyone came to one of the nicest areas, one of many nice areas in L.A. This is Westwood, where UCLA is.
Oh, the consulate's down there, but that's right.
Yeah. So you have the Italian Cultural Center there, and they want it in there. They have a theater in there. So they made all this Italian food for the kids for afterwards. I mean, it was amazing. So everyone's the kids are still alive. They go, it's the pad. I go, the pad, are you sure? And you're manja, manja. And I go, oh my God, that sounds like my grandma. Because I just got done with them. The final drawing was my grandma, you know. And I go, what is grandma wearing? They all said the same things. My grandma wears a hat. I go, yeah, my grandma too. You know, so we were becoming unified. I mean, it was, you know what I mean? All the similarities that bring us together. You know, these kids could have been anybody, but we were all the consulate general, everyone. We were all the same person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was no longer the fairest skinned, blue-eyed devil Italian guy. They were no longer black, Hispanic, or white, or Italian from Italy, or the English.
Yeah, you got into that unifying level of consciousness where we're all one down below. Yeah.
We're all one. So everyone's shouting out her little coat, her glasses. She got her hair done at the beauty parlor, her little shoes. Nice. So you hear munja munja after, because I was telling them, well, this looks like it's the end of the show. You hear munja munja, munja munja. And I go, oh my God, it sounds like my grandma. Do you think we could get grandma to come? Because that would be incredible. I don't think we could do that. And they're like, yeah. And the magic words, instead of abracadabra, because it was Italian, I said, the magic words for the pad, you know them, right? Someone goes, abracadabra. I go, no, this is Italian. These are Italian magic words. And they said, ooh, what's that? And I go, ay, ay, ay. So you have all these 4 and 5 years old lifting their arms up and like throwing their head down, because that's the way, you know, your grandfather would do it. Ay, ay, ay. So they all go, ay, ay, ay. And all of a sudden out comes my wife in a, costumed up like a grandma. The kids went nuts. And at the end of the show, everyone's filing out, you know, big applause, and they're all going out to eat. And I feel these little tugs on my pant leg. I'm going, wow, yeah, I'm the star of the show. And I turn around, there's like 4 of these little, like, kids, you know, 5 and 4, the cutest things you've ever seen. I mean, everybody's cute at that age, right? Yeah. So, and they're going, and I'm thinking, oh, they really love me. And they go, where's grandma? And I go, she's out there.
They're not interested in you at all, are they?
No, they all wanted to sit and eat with my wife, who's disguised as a grandma. Great.
Well, that's true. I mean, awesome. The love of the grandma, you know, is transcends all the boundaries and all the differences and all that stuff. And that's a beautiful message. You tapped into that. You know, the thing is, think about it. I mean, the kids know that. It's like We lose that as we get older, and like our own ego gets in the way, you know, because think about what you're bringing into that. Like, oh, what is this going to be like? Are they going to accept me? Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? You know what I mean? And we carry in all that baggage that we accumulate over the years. But kids, I mean, they're ready to accept, hey, you know, this is common ground. Yeah, there's differences. They can see they're not stupid. They can see that we have differences and they want to learn about those things. But the thing that holds them together is that common ground, you know, and that's that's a great example of that when you use the grandma and are able to, you know what I mean? Kind of rally around that and find that common ground. That's a beautiful story. Good stuff. Yeah, the book is filled with that kind of cool message though, throughout the whole thing, where you take, you know, little funny events that happen to you and then you connect it to some spiritual ideas and, you know, common sense ideas, and you got great quotes in there and everything as well, which I loved. I loved the one you used at the beginning. It's that Florence Scovel Shin one where she has that, I have a wonderful job in a wonderful way.
Oh. Yeah,
I give wonderful service for wonderful pay.
For wonderful
and, you
pay.
Know, it's funny because we hear those kinds of things when we're adults, and it's like, oh, that's corny. That's not going to work. But those kinds of things, like, they lodge into your head like a jingle in a commercial or something, and they do affect us. You know, we create a new vibe, and then we draw those things to ourselves because we kind of reprogram that negative consciousness, right?
Dude, I'm telling you, quote, it changed. Well, it started with. It's funny. I was just telling my friend this story earlier. It started when. In 1986, I was just coming into this stuff, and a guy who became a mentor to me was a chauffeur of all things in Honolulu. I was stationed there in the Coast Guard. I just got demoted. I was in a lot of trouble, but this guy became like the father I never had. My dad had been dead by that time. My dad died when I was 18, so it was 5 years he was gone. And so this guy kind of filled those shoes for me. And there was, we were somewhere and this guy, Jack, was coming and he prefaced this, my friend Mike, who has now since passed. But he said, you know, this guy, Jack, he's the happiest guy you'll ever meet. And of course, I didn't get it then. And I was so cynical and so, you know, thinking I knew everything. And I said, Mike, of course he's happy. He's rich. And Mike, he didn't get, you know, upset or anything. He just looked at me with disappointment in me. Like, I could feel he was disappointed that I feel bad for you that you don't see how the world really works. I could feel like that was what he was thinking. Yeah. You know how something... Cause then this was a split second. Cause he immediately responded with, no, he's not happy because he's rich. He's rich because he's happy.
Wow. Dude,
that changed my
life.
That's
heavy.
Because in that instance, and then it's confirmed in all these spiritual books, including the teachings of Jesus, Buddha, all of them basically in one line is, material well-being always follows spiritual growth. And meaning it clicked in a simple way for me, like, oh, wait a minute. So all I really need to do then is maintain this faith that helps me rise above feelings of being less than or envious or jealous, resentful, any feeling that is not positive in nature, not kind to feeling through me, like joyful, enthusiastic, hopeful, you know, all those types of thoughts and the feelings they produce. So all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute. So this whole thing, and even the 12-step program for alcoholics, addicts, and now a number of other things, ailments, is the same thing. It's let's eradicate all these defective ways of thinking and behaving. And if you just constantly clean house, when these thoughts come up, like my erroneous thoughts about doing this thing for the kids and Watts, Don't give into it, like, because that feels bad. There is no truth in any limiting, any thought of or belief in limitation. And that's why they feel bad. I thought if I felt bad, it meant those thoughts are real.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned, and like this happy brings success and wealth and prosperity and health is because I'm letting go of thinking against the current of the natural positive stream of life. So I started thinking, wait a minute, if that's all I got to do is start steering towards happiness, don't worry about getting money to be happy. Don't worry about getting the girlfriend to be happy. Don't worry about getting the car or whatever it is I think I used to think I needed to get happy. Let's just eradicate any thoughts on a daily basis that disturb my peace of mind or happiness. It's synonymous.
And you know, the thing that's so powerful about that is that you're doing that in the moment. You're actually in.
Yes.
You're living your life in the moment instead of futuring yourself or, you know, pasting yourself.
Yes.
Right? You're like, you're in that moment. You know, that's such a huge thing, because how often do we think, oh, when I get this, then I'll be that.
Yeah, and
it
never comes.
Because even if you get that thing, it lasts, the excitement wears off in like a day or two. And then you're left with yourself again and your thoughts and your feelings, right? You know, and look at how many people, I'm sure you've seen this in your own, especially as, you know, we're a little bit older. You know, we see men, and this particularly happens to men, that live their whole life for retirement. They get to retirement and they drop dead after 2 years. It's like, this is what you've been working for your whole life, to drop dead in 2 years? You know what I'm saying?
I am doing,
it's insane. It's absolutely insane. So, so you got to live in the moment. You got to check your thoughts constantly. You've got to watch what's going on. And you've also got to be proactive, because those thoughts will just run wild over you if you don't jam them up, right?
Well, and also we got to let everyone know, it feels good when you do this. It's not like we're doing it just so, well, you know, I got to do this.
No, exactly.
Nothing good.
Exactly.
No. It actually, the effort feels good. It does not feel good to worry. I used to think
it does
this was
not,
another
indeed.
Problem. No, but I was convinced for many years that, because it sounded like this from people, if I'm not worried about it, then I'm not,
concerned. You're not serious. You're not really in the game and trying to fix things if you're not worried about it, right?
Yeah. But the opposite
is
true.
Absolutely.
I'm ineffective when I'm worried. And when I'm worried, I'm doing the worst kind of outlining. Yep. Because what I do when I'm worried is I make up scenarios that I don't want to happen.
And then you run them over and over in your mind, and you create the very thing that you're worried about.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, like your book. If you can worry, you can meditate. I'm meditating on what I don't want to happen.
Exactly.
I'm praying. Worry is praying for what I don't want to happen. When I tell myself that, I mean, go, I don't want to worry. You know what I mean? I don't want that.
Yeah, exactly.
And another thing I do, another quick one I started using on myself, like if I'm walking and I start getting resentful at someone, you know, anything could pop up. You know, usually if I'm hungry, but it could be, you know, we're not immune to these thoughts.
Exactly.
I mean, not to keep beating up on Jesus like we are in this show, but even he had thoughts.
Hey, nobody's beating up on Jesus.
No, I know. I'm just teasing. No, because we keep bringing him up. But the thing is, even he.
Oh, for sure.
And Buddha, too.
Yeah, their struggles as well. And why would we think we're not going to have to struggle with it if these, these like divine, you know, individuals come and share this information with us and they have to struggle with it. And then we think, well, we don't have to do anything. You know, I'll read a couple ideas from the church and that'll fix me. But it's like, come on now. Exactly.
So knowing that, so if even they had to like say, nope, I'm not going to buy that. Well, I'm walking one day and it hits me. I started asking myself, anytime I'd start getting resentful or I'd start thinking, oh God, that old lady's going to back into my house. You know, whatever it is, you know, she's 97 years old. I could think anything at any moment. And I have to go like this, Daryl, is that what you really want exactly. to happen? Or do you really want that? That's one thing I'll ask myself. Like, cause you know, sometimes you think I have some justifiable anger sure. about this. I'm going to get even. And I go, Daryl, do you really want that? No, that's not what I really want. Like, I'll even say, I wake up from the trance. No,
not at all.
I really don't I do not want that. What I really want is just everyone to be happy.
And you know, that's the thing too. Just, you know, by sort of flipping it around and creating the opposite of like what you really want instead of what you don't want, you just starve off the negative side of it. Then there's no question about it. Cause the thing is about the mind is like I talk about it in the meditation book. And like you're talking about, you know, with any of these new thought ideas, it generally can only focus on one thing at a time. So you really just have to kind of like, you know, herd it almost like a cowboy or something and get it moving in the right direction. Right.
Yes.
I mean, it's not that complicated.
Dude. Oh my God. I'm sure I'm not the first person who saw this, but one day I was having a terrible time because sometimes you're trying to be a firm but loving parent to yourself. You know, come on. Yeah, we're just going to move forward. We're not going to complain about this. You know, we're just going to move forward. And sometimes it feels like, is this ever like the funk, right? Lingers. Well, one day this was happening to me and I said, I'm going to go for a walk, a hike. And on the hike, I decided, I don't know where this came from, but I said, you know what? Every time, because I was doing all the other stuff, you know, thinking good thoughts, blessing the thing, and it wasn't getting any traction. So I just said, every time my left foot hits the ground, I'm just going to say yes, yes, yes. And I started just saying yes, yes. And I don't know how.
You know what? I was going to introduce you as the yes man. But in a good way. I like that idea. You're the yes man.
Well, thanks. Because after a while, not even a while. I mean, I must have went like 30 paces, 30 yeses, because I was walking up the hill here in Culver City, and my mood dramatically changed. And so I started suggesting this.
That's
to
a
people
fantastic idea.
And I said, why don't you just go for a walk? And every time your left foot, because the left side kicks off the right side. And when we're freaking out, it's usually because the intellectual side of my brain has got me so disconnected from my feeling nature.
Exactly.
Yeah, that starts reasoning too much and not giving account to the mysterious aspect of life that really the real part. So one of my buddies who is a therapist who was in the military. Actually, we were in the same. We both got in trouble for different things. Obviously, he was in the Marines. I was in the Coast Guard. And we both ended up in a Pearl Harbor Military Rehabilitation Center. And we're both still doing really well today. And that was 33
Fantastic.
Years ago. And he became a therapist later on. And he lives in Arizona, so Phoenix. So I said, dude, Jeff, I said, just go for a walk. I did this. It's incredible. So he started doing it. Then he started telling his clients to do it because it was working well for him. So then I –
You know what? I'm going to tell people to do this, and I'm going to give you credit. I'm not going to steal it. Believe me.
Well, thanks. I then thought, you know, I got to share this. So I shared it in an article for Recovery Today magazine and Keys to Recovery newspaper. And I called it the one word prayer. And then I thought I should make this, like I made a edited version that I could fit on a postcard size card. And I made an illustration for the word yes as this little boy, like a chubby boy.
That's a great image.
Climbing over the fence, and he's got his little tongue and smile. And he's not all the way over, but he's got one foot over. Yeah, he's almost there, and it says yes in big, happy letters. And on the back, I wrote the one word prayer, which I might as well read before we hang up. I got it right here. And Actually, I have these cards. Those are on available. Your website, right?
Okay.
Yeah, they're on my website.
So they could go
everywhere.
They could go to DarylFusaro.com or they can go to ThisWillMakeYouHappy.com. They both go to the same site, right? Okay.
Yes. And so what it says, and this is the, you could send these to your friends or whatever. A church bought a bunch of them, which I'm grateful for. And then I also keep them with me to, you know, give out for free too. So it's yes, the one word prayer. I have encouraged many to use this prayer to break free from self-limiting beliefs and to step out boldly. It'll give you a spiritual jolt regardless of your religious orientation. And if you don't believe in a religious God, it will still kick you upstairs. Anytime I find myself feeling down emotionally or physically, I'll go for a walk and I'll say the word yes. Hang on. My eyesight. Hang on. Glasses are required. Okay. Yeah, it happens.
Listen, I'm with you right there. I got them on right now. So,
yeah, I actually tell like these young guys I hang out with, they go, oh my God, you got to wear glasses.
Yeah, you're headed for the same future, kid. Don't worry about it.
Oh, no, but I twist it around. I go, don't worry. If you're lucky, you'll get one day.
Exactly. You know, it's.
Yeah. Okay. So,
yeah, finish.
So let me continue. All right. Anytime I find myself feeling down emotionally or physically, I'll go for a walk and I'll say the word yes each time my left foot hits the ground. It releases me from the merry-go-round of old ideas and opens my mind to receive a new and improved perspective. Yes is synonymous with I can. Saying yes when your left foot hits the ground wakes up the playfully creative right side of your brain. Inspired ideas flock to a playful mind. By simply affirming yes, you are in actuality saying yes to inspiration, yes to new ideas, yes to motivation, yes to a solution, yes to prosperity, yes to health, yes to happiness, yes to success, yes to love, yes to miracles, and yes to all the blessing God desires to shower upon you now. Say it often. Say yes.
Amen. That is fantastic. I'm going to have to get one of those. I do not have one of those, by the way. One of those.
I'll send you. That would be beautiful. Today, I'll put it in the mail.
Thank you so much. You know what? We could talk all day because you lift my mood. Yes, man. But unfortunately, we do usually like an hour on the show. And I'm going to, you know, so we'll save some of it. Like George Costanza, always leave him wanting more. You remember that episode? Jerry told him, okay, George, whatever you do, always leave him wanting more. George goes into the meeting, cracks a joke. He's like 2 minutes into the meeting, and then he's like, all right, I'm out. Takes off. So luckily, we talked for like an hour, and now we can say we're going to leave you wanting more. Daryl Fusaro, what if Godzilla just wanted a hug, leading with the heart instead of the chin? DarylFusaro.com. You got his Instagram is at symbol FOOSAZ.
No,
Z. See that? ARO. We got it now.
Yes.
Or thiswillmakeyouhappy.com. They can also hear your podcast as well. Those are still up on Unity, right?
Yes. It's called, you can actually get them on iTunes too. It's Funniest Thing with Daryl
All right,
and
perfect. Ed. Thank you so much, Mr. Daryl Fusaro, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Please support us if you can. We're at anchor.fm/cosmic eye. Thank you again, Daryl, for coming on. We really appreciate it.
I love it.
All right,
it.
Everybody,
you.
Have a great week and lead with your left foot when you're walking and say yes when it comes down.
Yes.
All right. Goodbye and God bless.